Seven for a secret. Blah, blah, blah. Beauty and the Beast. Alternate universe. Horror. Fairy tale. Fairy tales. Disney's Dark Revolution. Blah, blah, blah. Read by Rena Jenkins and Rena Jenkins. Read by Rena Jenkins and Rena Jenkins. 4. Egalite. Her name wasn't Belle, because that would be too convenient. In truth, her name was Beatrix, and she didn't live in a quaint French village. This was the truth. She was an extraordinarily pretty child, and somewhere along the way she was dubbed with the moniker which became her sole name. The village her family lived in was poor, since there was no such thing as a quaint French village in the time of revolution. Belle couldn't remember a time when the villagers hadn't been frightened. Her parents had both been born to the petite bourgeois, but after Belle's mother passed away, her father's madness had gradually eaten into their status until they were forced to live in a poor provincial town far from the city. It was not a good time to be a stranger, and Belle found it impossible to make friends. People were suspicious enough that they didn't trust family members, so there was no hope of anyone deciding to reach out to the new people. That was fine with Belle, because almost all of the villagers were illiterates, and there was nothing she loved more than books. She read books by candlelight, the books that her father acquired whenever he went to the city for a meeting of the Jacobin Club. He would come back full of ideas of liberté, égalité, fraternité. She would listen as he expanded on the themes, and gratefully accepted the pamphlets and books he handed to her, about how the age of enlightenment was upon them. The ideas were revolutionary, and Belle could not stop thinking about their grandeur. She read Rousseau and Antonelle, and contemplated the unfairness of the world. From there she discovered the works of Olympe de Gouges, which led to Madame Roland, which led to her thinking about journeying to Paris to join the revolution. It was a journey she would eventually make, but not by her free choice. The evening her father didn't come home, she wondered if the supporters of the regime had found him. She waited as time slipped by, her emotions moving from annoyance to concern to fear. France was a dangerous place, and she knew many people were disappearing without explanation. When Philippe arrived back at the house, lathered and panicked, she didn't hesitate to climb up into the saddle and order him to retrace his steps. As she half expected, the horse backtracked through the woods, veering off the usual road into the dark forest path that none of the villagers would take. She struggled to stay calm as Philippe moved through the thick, overgrown wilderness. Around her, the sounds of wolves lifted into the air, raising the hair on her skin as she struggled to keep her terror at bay. Then, suddenly as a mirage, a palace appeared in front of her, locked behind magnificent gates. Her breath caught as she stared at the architectural wonder that lay spread out before her, elaborate and decadent in a way that she wouldn't have believed if she hadn't seen it with her own eyes. There were so many windows that she doubted she would ever be able to count them all, and the lawns were manicured into absurd perfection. There had to be enough space to fit 5 of her villages into one wing. It looked the way she imagined the Palace of Versailles did. The thought returned her courage to her, the cause of her father's disappearance confirmed as an attack by the aristocracy against the opposition. Squaring her shoulders, she led Philippe through the gates and into the courtyard. Only to encounter the Beast. She couldn't think of words to describe the twisted monster that materialized out of the dank. It was like someone had taken the fiercest beasts of the natural world and stirred them together to create a living nightmare with blazing blue eyes. He circled around her and threatened her and ordered her to leave. She looked up into the beast's face and reminded herself that she was his equal. "I will not be cowed by a monster," she told him, squaring her shoulders and glaring at him with fiery eyes. She was her father's daughter. She would not kneel because she knew she was not inferior to anyone or anything. "Give me my father back." She would not let him see that she was afraid, because she was not afraid. He roared in her face, but she did not flinch. She kept her back straight and glared at him, knowing that he could only offer her physical violence. She wasn't sure which of them was more shocked. He hemmed and hawed, demanding that she stay and take her father's place for the crime of trespassing. Her courage grew as she recognized the beast's lack of intelligence, since he simply demanded her word that she remain forever. It was a promise she gave, since he was foolish enough not to have her swear by anything that mattered. Belle planned to escape as soon as she could. He led her through the dark rooms of the palace by candlelight. Out of the corners of her eyes, she saw the glimpses of priceless artwork and opulent furnishings that would have fed her village for a year. When he forced her into a room and ordered her to get ready for dinner, she refused. He lost his temper, stating that if she wouldn't eat with him, then she would starve. She had to bite her tongue, since the immediate retort on her lips would have been something about the peasants who were already starving. He slammed the door shut behind him, and she gasped as a wardrobe spoke and tried to persuade her to be reasonable. A candelabra appeared next to her and persuaded her to follow him to the dining room. They presented a grand spread, but all she could see was the decadent waste. While people were starving for lack of bread, they were trying to feed her hot cuisine. She only accepted a crust of bread and a glass of water. Escaping wasn't as simple as she had originally thought it would be. The castle's magical denizens were constantly underfoot, an army of spies that wouldn't hesitate to tattle if she made a wrong move. Philippe had stayed with her, but all of the stable creatures were constantly around and would surely report immediately to the beast if she tried to run. The beast tried to soften her, playing on her love of books by presenting her access to his magnificent library. It only took her a couple of hours to realize that none of the books were newer than 10 years old, and much of it was fiction. It was better than nothing, but she longingly wondered about the new books she was missing. Life in the castle was a strange, isolationist state, but it was also enlightening. Her feelings softened slightly as she realized how helpless the beast was. He was utterly dependent on his servants for everything, and was ignorant of the world around him. He would listen to her patiently as she explained the Déclaration des droits de l'homme et du citoyen. To her shock, he didn't argue with her, instead thinking on what she said and asking questions the next day. Maybe his ignorance, and the ignorance of the rest of the aristocracy, could be countered with education. She began to understand how the people became so divided, and her fingers started to itch to write her own book about ways to bridge the gap between the classes. It was a book she would never have a chance to write. The mob came before she had a chance to even compose the first sentence. The people were insane, led by Gaston as they stormed the castle, carrying torches and threatening to have the beast made into a trophy. Without thinking of anything but her own safety, she grabbed the nearby lighted candelabra and threw it into the midst of the crowd, right onto the cannons they had dragged along with them. The resulting explosion took out more than half the marauders, and quite a few of the castle's animated objects. It only made them crazier. Belle screamed and screamed and screamed about how she supported the revolution, but a mob could not be placated by mundane things like reason. They grabbed her and dragged her away from the palace and put her on trial for treason. She never did find out what happened to the beast. The result of her trial was a foregone conclusion. Madame Guillotine had no love for happy endings. Reader's note. I do not know French. Please forgive me if I have said all of the French wrong. I'm sorry!